Thank you. So Larry actually set the stage well for this presentation. I'm going to be talking about the Washington State University Extension Dryland Cropping Systems team, and here's a picture of that team. And we're standing there showing off our award. We won the 2017 Interdisciplinary Team Award that we got from our college. And this team was formed in large response to some of the things that Larry was talking about. I arrived at Washington State in fall of 2012. Washington State was hit pretty hard by the recession of 2008-2009. And maybe this is a similar story some of you have heard. Extension took a disproportionate portion of the cuts to the university. So they lost a lot of that capacity, a lot of those people. And when I came in, it was suggested to me that because they didn't have that breadth of specialist positions, but also at county levels, that maybe what we need to do was form a team so that together we could try and deal with all the issues facing growers in the state. And so this team was formed in 2013, and maybe some of these things, I know we all have experience working in teams. This is one that I've worked with. I've worked with a lot of teams. This is one that's really had some real success, and maybe you can pick up a nugget or two from some of the things we did. So I'd like to share that story a little bit with you. So the team is made up of some specialists on campus covering a range of topics or disciplines. You can see them here on your left. We have marketing, economics, entomology, weed science, plant pathology, soil fertility. David Crowder, our entomologist, really doesn't even have an extension appointment, but he enjoys doing it, so we've pulled him in. Some of these people have small extension appointments, some have larger, and they're one deep. We don't have anybody beyond them. That's it that we have for extension. And out in the counties, we're fortunate that we have people, they all have masters, some of them have PhDs, and they're trained in a discipline. And then because of where they're at, they're able to connect with growers much more easily than we can on campus. And so we combine the team. Aaron Esser's here. He's up in Ritzville, covers a couple counties, has I believe an ag economics kind of background, but he's Mr. Wireworm. He's worked with Dave Crowder to do a lot of wireworm work on wheat. And so specializing in areas that he has a passion for, as Larry's talking about earlier. So this team came together in 2013 to address the needs of the wheat growers of eastern Washington, and it consists of both specialists on campus and county people out in the field. And I think that integration of county and specialists on one team really is what makes the team very successful. I'm going to talk about just a few of the things that we've done as a team. We do quite a few different things. Everybody has their own little thing, and then we have the things we do as a team. The three things I want to talk about are the Wheat and Small Grains website. One of the issues that was brought up was a lot of growers were complaining they didn't know where to go to find WSU information on the web. Everybody had their own website, and trying to find it was very difficult. And so we wanted to create kind of a one-stop shop where if you wanted to find information on small grain production from WSU, you could go to this site and find it. As part of that website development, we also wanted to develop some decision tools. We felt it was a good way to take information developed by researchers and extension and put it into a method that growers could get and use in their decision making to make better decisions. And the third thing I'm going to talk about is the Wheat Academy. It's a two-day in-depth course. We spend hour and a half on each session. Growers can kind of pick and choose what they want to go to, and it's proven to be a rather effective and liked program in the state. So first thing I'll talk about is smallgrains.wsu.edu. That's our wheat and small grains website, our one-stop shop. On the left are some of the things you can find there. We basically started in 2013. We sat down as a team and we met with people in our communications department to try and figure out what do we want to put on this website. And we spent quite a few months on that. Who's our audience? Trying to identify who the audience was, how they're going to get the information, what information we had, and how we wanted to put it up on this site so people could find it as easily as possible. They tell us you don't want to go more than 2 or 3 clicks into a website to find information, or you lose people. So you have to try and keep that information where they can get to it quickly. If you go to this site, it has all the information WSU Extension has on these various topics, along with decision tools. One thing we've done to kind of keep it fresh is we have what we call timely topics here that are featured in this banner here. We usually have the last 3 timely topics in here, and then some more timely topics down here in an archive. We try to have a new timely topic every week. We try to have that relate to something that's going on in the field or some research that's recently been published. And so it gives the page a fresh look. It's not just a static page, it just sits there. And so we have timely topics that go up weekly. And when we send a timely topic out, you can also see over here we have a subscription listserv. So people can sign up. If you sign up for that, when a timely topic goes out, you get an email saying there's a new timely topic, link to the timely topic, and go to it. So back in 2016, here's an example of one of our timely topics. We had a low falling numbers problem in Washington, caused by both rainfall or pre-harvest sprouting and late maturity alpha amylase problems. And it hit our growers hard. They thought they were going to have this great yield. They had great yields, and all of a sudden they were getting, 15, 20, 50 cent dockages when they brought their grain to the elevator. So there was a lot of interest on it. So we did this timely topic. We actually did a number. This one here kind of brings them all together. There's usually a link in there to more information on a story. So we sent this out. And the nice thing about these timely topics and working on the web is we can go to Google Analytics and we can see whether anybody's reading those things. So that timely topic came out on August 11th. Here's August 9th here. Here's the 10th. On August 11th, we jump up. The next day, we had almost 500 people seeing that report, and then it dies off. And we watch those. When we put up a timely topic, usually within an hour or two, somebody gets a phone call from media. We have a lot of media people on here calling about the story and wanting to talk to somebody about that story. So it's a really good way of getting information out to people, these timely topics. If media didn't take them too long to find out, they're hungry for stories. This is a good place to come and see some stories and decide where they want to go with it. We talked about tools. One of the things we want to do is get tools up there. When I was at Nebraska, I developed a rather simple variety selection tool on the web. And when I was brought to Washington State, I was asked to see if I could do a similar thing for Washington State. So the variety selection and testing page probably gets more hits than any part of our website. There's a lot of people who are interested in that part of work. And we developed this website. I should mention the website and these tools, a lot of that support came from the Washington Grain Commission. So I wrote a grant with the team. We got $50,000 a year for 3 years to build a website, put these tools together. And probably the real key to it is none of this really started coming together until we hired a communications person, a young person who knew how to put together a web. We didn't have that person for a while. We had a lot of people talk about creating websites, but nobody did a dang thing. They wouldn't send us any information. We had to have somebody who knew how to put a website together and could take the information the specialists and county people developed and get it up on the web. So I get sidetracked here. This is the selection tool. This is a tool where a grower can go up and they can pick the class of wheat. Washington, unlike Nebraska, has multiple classes of wheat. They can pick the class of wheat they're working on. In this case, our most popular is soft white common winter wheat. And then they can go and pick the rainfall area. We break up what varieties grow based on precipitation values. So they can go up here and click on a rainfall quantity, or they can click on the map as to where they're at. And they will get a table that comes up for that class of wheat, that precipitation zone, populated with data from the variety testing program. It has 2 years of data, and the default setting is to rank according to yield. That's what most growers are interested in. But you can see there's a whole variety of attributes which the variety testing program collects. Yield, test weight, protein, how they react to stripe rust, what kind of emergence it has. Quality, all that comes up. This is very easy to change. If you're not interested in cephalosporium stripe, you can just delete that column. If you think quality rating is really important, you can drag that over to the left side by yield. You can click on quality rating if that's your top one in the table, resort based on quality rating. The other thing you can do is you can kind of truncate the list. That's quite a few varieties there. What if I'm only interested in varieties that have test weights of at least 61 pounds or greater than 61 pounds? It's a soft white wheat, so I want soft white wheats that have proteins less than 11. We can type these into these boxes up here, our delimiters, and when we do that, the table truncates. You only get the varieties that have greater than 61 test weight, and you only get the varieties with proteins of less than 11%. So it's a very usable form, and then you can go up here and you can export to an Excel file. So if you've done this sort and you want to remember what you did, you can export it to look at it later. So this is a tool that gets quite a bit of use. A lot of the crop consultants really like this. They like to sit down with the growers when they're getting ready to sell seed, and they go through this. We get a lot of good comments on this tool. We've developed a lot of different tools since 2013. The variety selection tool, we have nitrogen calculators. Aaron Esser put together some nitrogen calculators on there, put together some weed tools for deciding what mechanisms of action different herbicides are in, what herbicides do best for certain weeds. We have a growing degree calculator. We have some residue management calculators. So this is still an area we're trying to emphasize. We've kind of run out of that $50,000 a year now, so we need to find new sources of funding to develop these. But growers like them, and it's just a good way to extend information. We also have a video resource library full of videos we've done. The video on the top, we have a low pH acidified soil condition, especially in our no-till, happening in eastern Washington. We did three videos on this. Last year, these three videos won the Extension Education Award in video category. These are posted up on there, as well as other short videos we've done. If we take a look at the sessions and how this grow, this came out in February 2014. You can see sessions went from about 4,000, 5,000 in 2014 for this June to November period up to about 18,000. So we're growing it every year. I don't have the same time period when I was putting this talk together, but you can go on Google Analytics, pick your period, and get all sorts of data. And administrators love this. You know, you can give them all the numbers they want. They like to have numbers. Whether any of it means much of anything, I don't know. But you can give them lots of numbers. So websites are really good for data. You can go and see where your visitors are coming from. In this case, most of our visitors are from the Pacific Northwest. But we do get quite a few visitors from Canada and India and Great Britain are some of our foreign ones. And finally, the Weed Academy. This is a two-day event. The first year we did it, we had it open for 60 slots. We wanted to have it real hands-on. It took about almost a month to sell the 60, sell out the tickets for the 60 slots. We had about 100. We charged $100 for people to come. The second year we ran it, we upped it to 75 slots. It took about 2 weeks to sell out. Last year we sold out in 8 days. This year it took a little bit longer, but we had 2/3 of the seats sold in 1 day, and then the rest straggled in after that. So very popular program. We bring in experts to talk about the science behind wheat management. If anybody knows this person, this is Betty Klepper, teaching on plant development. She came out, she's been retired quite a while, but we talked her into coming up and giving the school. This is our plant breeder, Aaron Carter, showing how crosses are made in the lab. Last year we had Bob Klein come out from Nebraska and talk about sprayer spraying techniques. So anyhow, I think I'm running out of time, so I'll just go through and say these are the keys to success from our standpoint. You have to have administrative support. They have to want you to do this. We had industry support, which is very critical. Needed an identified leader, because a team tends to just fall apart if there's not somebody who's trying to bring them together. Shared responsibilities and recognition. That leader can't take responsibility for everything and take all the credit. It has to be shared. People have to contribute. Strong connections with scientists outside your team. So we have a lot of ARS and other research scientists who help us quite a bit. And then that dedicated support person who actually puts stuff up on the web for you and makes sure things get done is very critical. So with that, I will end, and I don't know if there's any time.
Unfortunately, we don't, but let's thank you.
Thank you.